Let's pray. Father, thank you for this great day. Thank you for your word. I ask that you'd speak to us today through your word. I just ask, God, that you would give us ears to hear, hearts that are receptive, minds that are fully engaged with what you want to speak to us today as we conclude this series that we're currently in. Lord, speak to us, be with us in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Well, today we're going to conclude this series that we call Back to the Basics. And basically, the inspiration from this series comes from none other than, let's show the picture. How many people know who that is? That's our inspiration for this series, other than the Bible, of course, okay? Bible first, Vince way down there, okay? But anyway, the inspiration from this sermon comes from Vince Lombardi. Stories told that when the Packers were going through maybe a little skid, a little slide, what he would do is he would call the players around, the coaches around, and he would hold up a football. You got to remember, these are guys who have been playing football for decades. And he would say to the guys, he'd say, gentlemen, what would he say? Everybody that knows, say it.
This is a football.
This is a football. Let's just get back. And what Vince was doing is he's telling these guys that have been around football all their lives, he's saying, guys, it's time to get back to the fundamentals. It's time to get back to the basics. Let's get it right, okay? And that's what we're doing as a church. We're going back to the basics. We're going back to the basics, okay? So what are the basics? Well, according to Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39, in a portion of scripture that's called the Great Commandment, Jesus says, hey, when you boil it down, it comes down to really two big things. And hopefully, by the way, these are in your notes. What are the basics? Somebody help me out. Number one is what?
Love God.
That's where it all starts. Jesus says, first and foremost, the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And number two, what's the second basics? Everybody together.
Love
your neighbor. So what we have here is we have two things going on. We have this vertical relationship we have with God that's only made possible, not by works, but through grace, through Jesus Christ. We have this relationship with God. And then we have this relationship we live with every day. And that's that horizontal relationship where we love people. And what we're doing in this series is we're simply asking this one question. What would it look like if we as a church, you as an individual, we as a church, what would it look like if we got these two things down that Jesus said mattered the most? What would it look like if we got better at loving God and loving people? What would that look like? Does anybody want to throw out a word of what that would look like? Great. Awesome. Here's my word. Everybody together. One, two, three, say.
Fun.
I guarantee you, you guys, you can't even begin to imagine how fun it would be if we were a group of people that we just got so caught up in loving God with all of our hearts. And we got so caught up in loving people, loving our neighbors. I want to guarantee you, there's no place you'd rather be than in church. If we got these two things right, you would say, man, can we have church on Mondays? Some of you say, I don't think so, but you would, okay? If we got into just loving God with everything we had and we got into loving people with everything, we just couldn't get enough. It would be so fun. So what we did in this series in the first 2 weeks, we looked at that first part of that first commandment, and that is we got into loving God, loving God. And I want to let you know this is where it all begins. If you want to live a successful life, it's not about where you live. It's not about how much money you make. It's not about who you're hanging out with. It's not, all those things don't matter. Where it starts is success starts by loving God. Loving God, okay? That's where it all begins. And the reason why we love God is simple, and it's on your notes. It's found in 1 John 4:19. This is why we love God. Let's read it together. We love because he first loved us. That's so cool. We love because he first loved us. And that's where this journey begins. So what we did 2 weeks ago, because last week we kind of took a break for our Friends and Family Sunday. 2 weeks ago, we shifted our focus to the second part of the Great Commandment, and that is to love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself, okay? So we talked about how do we love our neighbor? What's that type of love look like? And we refer to a lot of thoughts from John Piper, who's a great, great mind in the church. And John Piper talked about this word called, or two words called, self-love. Self-love. And he said, self-love is simply this, and it's in your notes. Self-love is this deep longing that every one of us has. We all have this deep longing, urging, desire. And what we do is we long to diminish the pain in our life. Everybody wants to diminish pain. Nobody says, well, I love pain. We want to diminish pain. That's self-love, and we want to increase happiness. And we all want to do those things in a God-honoring way. When we do it outside of God, it's called sin. But when we do it in a God-honoring way, when we're trying to diminish pain, increase our happiness, Piper calls that self-love. And he says, with that same love that you have for yourself, now we're to go out and we're to love our neighbors that same way. Meaning that, you know, when you have a need, you'll do anything to get that need met. And Piper says, hey, what we need to do when you see a need in someone else's life, with that same passion you have to get that need met for yourself, you're supposed to put that same energy into meeting the need of somebody else. It's called love your neighbor as yourself, okay? So today what I want to do, and here's today's big question, well, who are we to love like this? Who is our neighbor? So we're going to look at this morning. Who is our neighbor? And what we're going to do to answer that question, we're going to go to the book of Luke. So get your Bible ready. By the way, all the verses are in the notes this morning, or they're going to be on the screen. But I think it's cool to bring your Bible to church. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at Luke chapter 10. And we're going to read verses 25 through, I think it's verse 37. Okay? And here's a problem I have a lot. When I'm reading the text, I start, stop, comment, and it takes a long time. So you know what we're going to do today to avoid that? We're going to have Heather read the text. And I promised Heather I wouldn't butt in, okay? So follow along today as Heather reads the text, a text that we're all familiar with, most of us.
One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test this by asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? The man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Right, Jesus told him. Do this and you will live. The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged him. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I will pay you the next time I'm here. Now which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, the one who showed him mercy. Then Jesus said, yes, now go and do the same.
Thank you, Heather. That was beautiful. In our text today, we are introduced to a lawyer, a man who's a lawyer. He specializes in the law of God, the word of God. And he comes to Jesus, and he comes to Jesus with this question. And the purpose of him coming to Jesus with the question is he wants to test Jesus, okay? Which is silly because he must have not realized he was the Son of God, fully man. So that's not going to work anyway. So anyway, he tests Jesus with this simple question. And the question he asked Jesus is, hey, Jesus, what should I do to inherit eternal life? That was the question that this man posed to Jesus. What should I do to inherit eternal life? And I don't know if you noticed this, but I love the approach that Jesus takes. It's a brilliant approach. So the man asked a question, but do you notice what Jesus did? He came by not answering the question, but he did what? He asked the guy a question. Have you ever met anyone like that? You have a question, and they come back with another question. I love it. That's brilliant. That gets you thinking. That gets you involved. So that's what Jesus is doing here. The question's asked. Jesus comes back with another question. Okay? And Jesus simply says, okay, here's your question. Well, he knows the guy's a lawyer. He specializes in the law, okay? So he says, hey, what does the law say? And how do you interpret the law, okay? And the lawyer answers the question by quoting a verse that we've been looking at now for about 5 weeks. And he quotes what we know as what? The Great Commandment. And this guy begins to quote the Great Commandment. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. So the guy answers, he said, hey, basically, it comes down to loving God, loving people. And I love Jesus because he basically affirms him and says, hey, in my language, he says, you nailed it. You got it right. Good job. You know what the word says. And then I love what Jesus says here. And this is very important that we don't miss this. He says to the guy, you know what it is. Then he says this word, do it. Then do this. You know what's right. Then do it. And can I just stop here to say, it's not enough for us just to know what's in the Bible. Is everybody hearing me this morning? Is it important to pick up the Bible and read it? Absolutely. Absolutely important that we pick up God's Word and read it. Get familiar with it. Know what's in the Word. But how many people know the knowledge alone is not enough? Paul actually says too much knowledge begins to make you haughty, puff you up like you're someone special. But Jesus says, hey, it's not enough to know. You got to now go out and you got to live it. You got to do it. I want to let you know the blessing doesn't come through knowing the Word of God. The blessing comes from what? Everybody together, doing the Word of God. So it's a very important point. It's true of many, 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 many areas. It's not enough to know. I would say a lot of us in this room, we probably know, we know enough. Or we've been to church a lot in our lives. And we say, well, why isn't my life, it's still not working. It's still not working. Well, let me suggest this. It's not enough to know. You got to put that knowledge into obedience. You got to do what the Word of God says. That's where the blessing comes from, is through doing what God's Word says. Has everybody got that? Say amen. Okay. So we'll just move on. It says, what should I do to have eternal life? He answers, says, knowledge alone is not enough. And here's the thing. I don't know if you noticed this in the text. The man isn't satisfied. He comes back with one more question. One more question. And it says that he asked this question to justify himself. And the question that this man asked was the question that we're asking this morning is, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? So in response to this second question, Jesus tells the story that Heather just read from Scripture, the story that we know as what? The Good Samaritan. And I love at the end of the story, Jesus tells this beautiful story. He's an amazing storyteller. He's got this guy really engaged. He's got this guy thinking. But I love how he ends the story. He ends the story by asking a question. So if you want to look at it in your notes again, the question's found in verse 36. Here's the question. Now, which of these three? Who's he referring to, the three? He's referring to the priest. He's referring to the temple assistant. He's referring to the despised Samaritan. He says, which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits? Which one of these three was a neighbor? And if you look at verse 37, the man gives the right answer. He says the one who was the neighbor was the one who showed him what? Mercy. That's the one who was the neighbor to the man in need. The guy that didn't just walk on by, which is easy, especially if you're busy people and you have an agenda, you have a to-do list, and you got to do 1, 2, 3, A, B, C, and there's a need that comes across your life. It's easy just to walk on by, okay? But the one who's really a neighbor is the one who shows mercy, who meets the need, okay? And I want you to notice something very important here, because I grew up in church. I grew up reading this story multiple times, but I'm embarrassed to admit this week I saw something in this story that I've never seen before. You may have seen it. You're brighter than me. If not, let me share something. We can all say wow together, okay? And that is, if you look at the story, Jesus never really answered the lawyer's first question. Did you notice that? Because the lawyer was asking the question, what was his first question? Who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Because you got to put this together. I want all of us to go on a journey of putting this together. Why does the man ask the question, who is my neighbor? The text says because he wants to justify himself. What does that mean? That means that, Jesus, I want you to tell me who my neighbor is. Is it the one when I look at my house from the driveway? Is it the neighbor that lives directly to the left? Or is it the person that lives directly to the right? Or is it the person that's kitty corner? Or in my situation, would my neighbors be everyone that lives in the Groton House Addition, which is probably made up of about 40-some houses? Are those my neighbors? See, what this guy is getting at is, hey, Jesus, tell me who I'm to love so I don't have to love those other people. Hello? Brilliance. Meaning that, okay, Lord, all I got to worry about is the people that live in the Groton House Addition. So if I'm out on Cascade a little further down the road and I see a car that's blowing up, exploded, and they're crying for help, I can just drive on by. Because I know they don't live in the Groton House Addition. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And that's what this guy is trying to get Jesus to say. Jesus, tell me who I am. Tell me who I'm supposed to love. Because surely I can't love everybody. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? There's this, tell me, he wants to be specific. He wants to limit it to a certain group of people, okay? So what I want you to do is I want you to go to the back of your notes. And I want you to look at what I want you to learn today, today's lesson. Man, we're going to be done early. I feel bad that I'm ripping you off this morning. But it doesn't have to be long to be effective. Amen? Here's today's lesson. This is what I want you to leave here this morning with. When it comes to loving your neighbor, don't make your primary focus geographical. What do I mean by that? Don't make your primary focus a certain area. Don't make it a certain location. Don't make it a certain group. Okay? That's not what Jesus is getting at. Who's your neighbor? Well, it's Heidi and her husband and her kids. That's my neighbor. I'm to love them. Or Britta. I'm supposed to love Britta and her two boys. I'm kind of going through my neighborhood in my mind. I'm supposed to love Pastor who lives next door and his wife. No, it's not a geographical location. Our focus should become becoming a good neighbor to anybody who's in need. Are you hearing me this morning? Anyone who's in need, regardless of who they are. Regardless of who they are, regardless of where they may live, what Jesus is saying here is when you see somebody in need, what I want you to do is I want you to start becoming the right type of person. Become the person who is merciful. Become the person who is loving. Become the person who is kind. Become the person who is forgiving. Become the right person. And then when you see a need or hear of a need, because you're the right person, because you're a good neighbor, now when you see a need, I can use you to respond to that need. I can help you. I want to use you to help diminish the person's pain and to increase their happiness. I want to use you. So the focus isn't on who's your neighbor, where they live. The focus is Jesus is saying, I want you to become the right type of neighbor, the right kind of person, the right person. Does that make sense? Is anybody still in a fog? We'll have to start all over again. And you don't want that because it only gets better the second time, okay? But anyway, that's what Jesus is saying is, hey, get back. This is the one time where it's okay to focus on yourself. Become the person I want you to become. Become the neighbor I want you to become. Become the person that when you see a need, God can use you to step up to meet the need. So this is what I want to do. We're at the conclusion already. Can you believe it? Say, wow. I've known some conclusion, those that have taken a long time. So don't get too excited. Let me ask you a question, two questions. Are you becoming a good neighbor? Are you becoming a good neighbor? Are you that type of person you're beginning to grow in mercy? you're beginning to grow in serving. You're beginning to grow in giving. You're beginning to become the type of person that God wants you to be. Are you a good neighbor that when you see somebody in need, you can help diminish their pain and increase their happiness in a God-honoring way? Are you becoming a good neighbor? And I'm not just talking about the people that live to your left or right. I'm talking about when you see a need, are you becoming a good neighbor? I'll tell you a story that happened to me about 3 weeks ago. I was having a very busy, busy day. In my agenda, I had different things on my agenda to do. And one was, it was lunch hour. The dog had to go out. It was potty time, okay? And I knew within 5 minutes of potty time, I had to be at Mariachi Loco. Bless my heart, okay? But it wasn't about me. It was about meeting a couple for premarital counseling that was going to be getting married that weekend. This was our last time to meet. And I told them this is what time I was going to be there. So I said, Lord, okay. I didn't say Lord. I said to myself, okay, go walk the dog, jump on your moped, and ride down and meet this family, this couple, okay? So anyway, this is what happens. I run to the house. I know I got 5 minutes to be down where I need to be next. And here's what happened. I put the dog on the leash, and no lie, within 30 seconds, my neighbor, in this case, it was my neighbor that lives in my neighborhood. He's an older gentleman. He's had a stroke recently. So when you experience somebody that has a stroke, they're not what they used to be physically. So he kind of loses his balance. And what happened is he walked out of his garage. He had blood on his forehead and he had blood on his hands. And he said, Mike, can you help me? And here's what happened. His wife had gone into Hudson and he wasn't around and she wasn't around. And what happened? He said, I put on my glasses to walk down the steps and I missed a step. And I fell down to the landing. So he's got blood all over his hands, and he says, can you help me? So I prayed to myself, Lord, is this my neighbor? No, I'm only kidding you. So I ran the dog in before she could do her business. We jumped in his vehicle, and I drove him to the emergency room right over here at River Falls. And then the lady was like, who are you? I'm just saying, I'm just a neighbor. So we're checking him in. He's going to get attention in the emergency room. So I'm thinking in my mind, oh my, I'm supposed to be down here at Mariachi Loco meeting with this couple that's probably wondering where I'm at. So I said, Jim, you're all set in. I will be back. So I went and ate lunch with them. We talked. And then I got back on my moped. I rode over to the River Falls Hospital. To my surprise, no one in the family had been contacted yet. So the lady at the table says, well, do you want to go visit Jim? And I'm thinking, this is awkward. Jim and I haven't really talked a lot. He's kind of a standoffish guy. And so I said, sure. And I'm walking back there and putting my hand on Jim's hand. Because you could just tell he was really distraught. And he said, Mike, it's just, in his way of talking, he says, Mike, it was just so cool that you were there today. So I'm thinking, Lord, what else do I have to do to be a good neighbor? And his family doesn't even know he's here today. So I went home and ran to his house again, and still nobody there. Still no one there. So I went to my office, focused on the street, looking out the window. Finally, I saw his daughter drive up in her vehicle. And I ran across the street, and I said, Bridget, I have news. Don't panic. Your dad fell down the steps, but he's at the River Falls Hospital, but he's in good hands. And then finally his wife came home and we told him, and it was just a day of being a neighbor. A day of saying, Lord, I want to help Jim diminish his pain. He's in need, and no one else is there. So this is my opportunity to live out the gospel, to live this out. I couldn't believe later his daughter came over. She was so thankful. His son stopped by one day, so thankful. Jim and I have actually grown closer together just through that one act. Through that one act. So my question to you today is, are you becoming a good neighbor? You may never know what that calls you to do, that you may never know what that will look like. But the focus is not on who are the neighbors in my neighborhood. The focus is, are you becoming the right person? Are you becoming the type of person that God can use? Are you becoming a person that's growing in mercy? Are you becoming a person that's growing in love? Are you a person that's just growing and giving and serving? Because you'll never know when an opportunity may come your way. And they may not be like you. They may be a Jewish person. They may be a Samaritan. They may be someone who specializes, a priest. You just don't know who God may bring your way. But this is what God's looking for. He's looking for people. Will you be a good neighbor? Will you be a neighbor that will reach out to someone in need and say, God, you can depend on me to step it up a little and help that person in time of need? Are you a good neighbor? Question number two is this. Are we becoming a good neighbor church? Are we becoming a good neighbor church? Are we a church that helps people when we see them in need? Are we a church that will help people diminish pain, increase happiness in God-honoring ways? Are we becoming a good neighbor church? And I think that's the journey that God has us on at this time. He wants us to be a good neighbor church. It's great that we can gather together on Sundays in this room. It's great that we can sing songs together. It's great that we can hear from God's word together. But you know what? It needs to be much more than this. Is everybody hearing me this morning? The church needs to be the visible expression of Jesus Christ. And we need to go out and we need to serve our neighbors, serve people in need. You individually, we as a church, can you imagine how much we can accomplish when we all engage in this together? Together we will do what? We will be better together. We will be better together as we do these things for the Lord. Amen? So I want you to just dwell on that question this week. Are you becoming a better neighbor? And what you may want to do in your quiet time this morning or this week is just ask, Lord, am I growing in mercy? Am I more merciful today than I was a week ago? Am I growing in serving? Am I growing in kindness? Am I growing in what we would call from Galatians chapter 5, the fruits of the Spirit? Are we growing in those areas so that we can become the people that the world needs when they have a need? Amen? And I want to end with one passage of Scripture, because today you could say, well, it sounds like the gospel is all about doing good things, doing good things. And I want to declare as the pastor of this church, it's not about doing good things first. Amen? I want to read a verse as we close this morning, Galatians 2, 8, and 9. Everybody listen closely, please. God saved you by His grace. Everybody say grace. God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Grace is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. So it's not by works, it's by grace. Amen? But here's the deal. If we truly receive the grace of God, we become the people God wants us to become. Amen? We do the things that God wants us to do after we receive the gift of grace. So let's not get caught up in works. We should do good works because we've received grace. Amen? And look at what he says here in verse 10. Let me find verse 10. He has created us anew. I'm sorry. For we are God's what? Masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things He planned for us, check this out, long ago. So we get saved by grace. We are God's masterpiece, but He's created us new in Christ so that we can do the good things. We can go out and be good neighbors. We can be the people that He can use. We can be the hands. We can be the feet of Jesus. But it all starts when we receive Christ by grace. Amen? And when we receive Christ and we become into this new family through faith in Jesus, now because of all that He has done, we gladly step up to the plate and we gladly say, God, I'm ready to do the good things You created me to do. Amen? So let's pray this morning. If you've never received the gift of Jesus Christ by grace, that's your first starting point this morning. That's the batter's box this morning. That's the place where you got to begin your journey is by accepting God's grace, by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, by saying, Lord, I repent of my sins. I turn from those sins. I turn to you, Jesus, as the Savior of my life. Jesus, you alone are my Savior. You alone can forgive me of the debt of my sins. And I believe in you, Jesus, and I accept your gift of salvation. I accept your gift of salvation. And if you've never done that, I don't know, we need to take care of that. That's utmost importance. But after we get saved and we thank God for all he's done, now we go out and we serve and we become his ambassadors. We become his people of service, his people of giving. We become good neighbors. Amen? So God, I just pray that you do a work by your Spirit in our hearts. By your Spirit, that you would do a great work in our hearts. Lord, I pray for everyone in this room today who says, I want to become a good neighbor. I want to become that person that meets the needs of others in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you'd fill them with your Spirit. You'd fill them with your Spirit. And Lord, that you'd begin to do a work that's beautiful in them. So Lord, when they see a need, that they could be the person to step up to meet the need. And Lord, we just thank you for this time together this morning. We love you. We praise you. And Lord, help us this week. A new week starts. I pray at the beginning of this new week that we will be people who will be the people that you would want us to be. That we will be good neighbors. That we will be people who love God. And we will be people who love our neighbor. Help us, Lord. It's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by your Spirit that we become Great Commandment people, that we become world changers. And Lord, our world, we all have our own world, people that you want us to make a difference in. And we just thank you for that today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen.